Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan here in 2016, and it's great to have you with us. We come your way every Sunday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. And we archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page, and we link to our guests right there on both the schedules page prior to their broadcast and then following the broadcast on the archives page. So you can go to their website and you can check out the information that they have to share with you, and we encourage you to do that. We're going to talk once again about your life's purpose. I think that it's an ongoing process for all of us. And in spite of my observations on my own life, I don't know about you if you've taken the time, I've always felt like I was on purpose. I at least I hope I have been. I've always felt like I've been in the right place at the right time as my life has progressed. And yet at the same time, I know that one's life purpose can possibly change over time. Well, sometimes you have to wonder if, like that observation of myself, I sometimes wonder, well, if I'm not on purpose, what am I supposed to be doing? And it can kind of drive you a little bonkers or maybe a little crazy. Well, if you've kind of gone through the same thing, here's someone who is going to share with you a perspective that you're not crazy, you're awakening. And my guest today is the author of that very title, A Journey to Discovering Your Soul Purpose, Joy, and Abundant Life, is Dr. Advij. And I want to thank you, Dr. Advij, for joining us on the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Richard. A delight to be here.
This is certainly a focal point. I mean, we've dealt with this on almost every program, not every single one, but pretty much. That seems to be a real key factor for most people is they want to be of service. They want to be about doing something that has meaning in their lives and hopefully in the lives of other people that they come in contact with. They don't want to just be frittering away the day, as it were. They want to be focused. And I find myself, as I'm sure many people do, sitting and going, why am I just sitting here doing whatever it is? This doesn't seem to be real productive and on purpose and so forth and so on. So yet I continue to sit there and do whatever it is that I'm doing.
But you know what, though? Before we even get into questions, think about it. That's like the first cue to you, right? That's really those higher aspects of you starting to trickle down something, that there's more behind me than just this. So that's a perfect place to be in, because this process of awakening, it comes in stages, and that happens to be one of the earlier ones. There's something more to this. What is it?
Mm-hmm.
And as you begin to open up and ask that question, then it can unravel for you. Do you see? So you've got to start someplace, and isn't that starting point a good place of, wow, why am I doing this again? Is there something else I should be doing? Is there something else I should be feeling? And how do I get to be in service? What is all of this about? You got to know that there's something else afoot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah.
And I've also, and this goes back many, many years for me, I've had the observation that this world, this existence, my life, it's not an accident. Now, it's a belief, okay? I have no real proof that this is not an accident. It's just a belief. And that honestly, without that belief, if I didn't think my life had meaning, it wouldn't make any difference whatsoever what I did. I could go out, rape, pillage, and plunder the world, and it would be okay because this life has no meaning. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. But there's something inside of me from a very early age that said, my life has meaning. Ergo, I need to be about my purpose needs to be about fulfilling that aspect of meaning. And then we've talked many times, of course, about as we all grow older, about legacies. What kind of a legacy do you want to leave behind? And yet at the same time, I have to tell you, Doctor, that I've even posed the question if man really has earned the right to continue its existence based upon the way it's treated itself, its brethren, as well as the place in which it lives.
Whew.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Okay, so hold on. I'm going to dissect this as best I can. Yes, yes, yes. This is good. Okay.
Use a very sharp scalpel, though, please.
Yes. So, you have my book, You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening, and I journal all of these different experiences. I'm going to share one experience that speaks to, is there purpose behind me? So they literally took me to the Bardo realm, the realm you go to in between lifetimes. And there I sat with two of my guides writing in the pages of my Akashic record. And as I was finishing up writing, I got up from this table. They got up with me. We walked over to the edge of this realm. I looked down, and there is my mom in this lifetime in the hospital on the bed about to give birth to me. And into the womb I went with these two particular guides. So everything is by design. Everything. From the lessons that you want to experience, because those lessons would cause you to expand. You see, we are extensions of the whole, right? Creator. Mm-hmm. We are mini me's, mini gods. Mm-hmm. And the experiment was, you see, think about it. Prime Creator is pure positive energy, and Prime Creator wanted to feel self. Well, how else does Prime Creator feel self but to send out little extenders, little feelers, right? Well, you've got to drop down in frequency, because in the higher frequencies, everything is instant. And we know we only create love, good, joy, peace, harmony, blah, 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 boring, 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 right? Mm-hmm. There is no expansion through that. There's expansion through the chaos, because, wow, if we really get our feet wet, we're going to really be able to feel, because we know we can return. So let's step down in dimension and step down and step down again to this 3D, and here, now this chaos feels so real, the illusion feels so real, but now, how do I get back home? Well, wake up, begin to remember that you're divine, here to have these experiences to cause you to expand, to cause you to come back and define yourself, to realize that I really am divine, I really am love, there really is purpose behind me. And all of this has been an experiment for me to grow. And as I choose to grow through this, then the whole expands. Mm. Doesn't that feel good?
Mm. It's something that when we really start to... The phrase is get in the zone. I mean, we hear this phrase in sports all the time. We see a player who is just...
tuned in, tapped in, turned on.
You got it. You got it. I mean, in basketball, they can't miss a shot, and they can block every shot, and on and on and on, whatever the sport might be. And there are times when... And I remember early in my broadcast career when I was working with someone on a project that they were putting together, maybe their radio program, and they would bring me this pile of stuff. I mean, back then it was tapes and records and so forth. Mm-hmm. And they say, I want to make a 30-minute program. And I remember the first time I looked at the pile of stuff, and I thought, well, but did you time anything out? Did you do this? Did you do that? Do the other thing? Of course, they hadn't. And I said, all right, fine. Well, we'll just start, we'll see where we are in 30 minutes, if that's how long their show was. And almost invariably every time, I wasn't watching the clock. I wasn't watching the timer, nothing. And boom, as we finished up the project, before we even bothered timing it, it timed out. It was perfect. And that would happen over and over and over again. So I just stopped questioning it. I didn't even think about it. I figured, you bring me a pile of stuff, hey, then this is all that's supposed to be in there. It's all going to fit in that, from beginning to end in the proper time. Mm-hmm. And it was great.
Because you had an intention, you see. So you were practicing the universal laws without even knowing the universal laws. And one is intention, right? So as I'm intending to come forward and to expand, I'm doing it. I'm doing it through living. Either I'm living with intention or I'm living through default, but I'm expanding. The wonderful thing is, as I get more tuned in, tapped in, turned on, I now understand this thing of energy, and I understand that I can begin to then fold and mold to create the results, to move forward, to expand with more grace and ease, because we don't have to do it through default. We don't have to do it with getting stuff we don't desire and doesn't make us feel good. We can do it and experience joy and peace and love and harmony and expand and grow. So it's about, okay, getting the tools. And as we pick up and develop these tools, right, then we're in perfect timing. And you are in that perfect timing.
Let me ask you about how you came to this process. I mean, this isn't something that a lot of times, you know, it's not like something we're seeking out per se. It's almost as if when we're in that zone, if you will, things start to happen and things start to matriculate. And all of a sudden we say, I like where I'm at, but how did I get here?
How did I get here?
Yeah.
How did I get here? You know, and think about it. So we're on this journey and we don't know from birth or, you know, childhood. We don't know what any of this is about. We're just here and we think 3D is it. We think it's reality. We think it's actuality. And then all of a sudden, those higher aspects start to communicate and start to send us signals. Whoa, there's something going on. And so for me, that started at, I was a little kid. You know, I was 6 and 7 years old when my parents built a home in South Jersey in the middle of 5 acres, and I would see ghosts. I mean, there was nothing to wake up in the middle of the night and see some spirit standing in the hallway, and I'd walk around her to go to the bathroom. But then it was about 12 years old when all of a sudden I'm being awakened in the wee hours, and there's this tall, divine, benevolent being, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing like a human, nothing like a spirit, but everything like a light being standing there glowing. And out my bedroom window I went, flying into the stars. And then we landed on a bridge and dove into the depths of the ocean. These visits lasted for 6 years. So, I mean, at 12 then I started to pay attention. I was literally, I could hover above me looking at me sleeping and yet be very aware and see myself hanging out above me, floating down the hallway, going into my parents' bedroom, trying to wake them up, going out their room. So early on, I knew there's something else besides just this physicality and just the mundane. There's more behind me. And so that's when it started to awaken, if you will, for me, which led to all of the experiences, you know. And even so, so many of us as children have these visitations and then fear will shut it down, or a parent may say, oh, you don't want to do that. That's not right, or that's not God, or you're going to hell, and all sorts of craziness they may say to you. But that's okay. It will come back to you. I was fortunate enough that my parents, my mom said, they're here to teach you. Go. So
wow.
That's exactly what I did.
Wow.
You know, my mom growing up, she was a Rosicrucian back then. I'm 53, so this is some years ago. She was a Rosicrucian. She used to sit, and every day we knew when she got her green pamphlet, leave mom alone, she's going to read that little green pamphlet, and she's going to study, right? And so we were blessed. I was blessed to have that. She will be 86 on the 31st of this month, and she's awake. She can see everything. It's amazing. And so, yeah, that was, you know, a blessing. But again, understanding that I would come in to be this way shower of way showers, to be able to have these experiences awake and to share with you. So I had to have the support because there wasn't time to, you know, lollygag and not get it. And so literally in 04, as I'm here now in Las Vegas singing, doing my thing, I'm rear-ended in a car accident at over 100 miles an hour. I go into the light. My life doesn't flash before me. I'm just in this beautiful hovering space, the Bardo realm once again, and a voice says, you are here to bring them into the light. I'm like, oh, okay. And that's when it turned things on for me. And still points of light started showing up, coming to the room and activating things. And then before I knew it, beings started showing up. And when I say beings, I mean everything from cosmic angels, to divine beings, to ETs, to you name it. I've seen it. It's walked into my room.
So you used the term a couple of times, and I don't think I have the pronunciation now, but you went into this other realm. What is that?
Oh, so the Bardo realm. And
Bardo.
Look it up.
Okay.
B-A-R-D-O. There are different levels of the Bardo realm. That's where you go in between lifetimes. You know how you have the soul review, you have the Lords of Karma, you have all these things going on. And once you transition, you go into this realm. And so you now review your life. Did you get the lessons? And if you got the lessons or not, then you can decide if you want to go to a particular Ascended Master school. Say, for example, it's, you know, the Will. Then you might go to that particular school on that side and you continue those lessons learning. Now I'm done with that lesson. Now let's see what I want to pick up and learn next. Now I'm going to sit with the, you know, and start to write out in my Akashic book what I want to learn next. your team will be with you. They'll help you. And then those soul members, that aspect will show up and say, I will play your mom in this lifetime. I will play your husband in this lifetime. This is how you, this lesson you want to learn. And so now come forth and you're going to have the veils come up. You're going to forget. So when I kick you off and I'm not thorn in your side, remember that's the lesson you wanted to learn. And I agreed to play that role for you. All of those people listening who are upset with family members and, you know, as children, you didn't feel loved and nurtured or that you had a voice and all of these things that cause us to have blocks and restrictions. All of that stuff is what you wanted to learn and move through, and they agreed to play those roles. That is the Bardo realm. That's where you go.
Now, you also mentioned the Akashic Records. Now, is that accessible in that realm?
That's accessible in that realm, and, you know, there's so many other people who are gifted and can get access to it. All of these things are accessible to you. You just have to begin to ask, right? Because there's that universal law of no intervention. So they can't volunteer this stuff. You have to begin to ask. And once you do that, then you give them permission to begin to show up and to guide you and to teach you and to bring you to these different realms. Cool stuff.
It is very cool stuff. The things that I, now you sort of answered the question I was going to ask as far as the kind of resistance or support you received as you were growing up. And obviously you received the support. I mean, they didn't say, no, it doesn't conform with this book or these beliefs or what I have experienced. They let you have, well, I shouldn't say they let you have these experiences, but they didn't interfere with your expression and your experiences and didn't try to tear that down.
Correct. You know, looking back, what a blessed life as a child. You know, and I went to all Catholic school. So just imagine, I went to a convent for high school.
I was close. I went to a Catholic school for a couple of years myself.
So you know.
Oh, what fun it was. What fun it was.
But you know what's the crazy? Here I go with that word. My mom, you know, my father was a chef and traveled the world. So, you know, when he was home, it was like he'd bring gifts home to us. And, you know, he would be like, okay, here, have some more gifts. And I remember finally, I forgot what age I was. I'm like, Dad, I love you. You don't have to bring me any more gifts. I just love you. But my mom, she was so funny. She would say, you are there for the education. You're not there for the religion. Don't believe. In fact, the religion. And so as she was reading all of these Rosicrucian materials, right, understanding that we are the masters, understanding all of these things, she was sharing it with us. So even though I was in Catholic schools and, you know, I think I was in third grade where it was time for confession, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm sitting there in church and I'm like, okay, I was as good as they get when it comes to not doing anything bad. I always just wanted to please my parents and, you know, it was just joyful. And so I would sit there in church. I'm like, okay, what did I do wrong? Okay. And so I'm like, well, I guess I didn't try hard enough in my schoolwork. Okay. So then I'd go in and I would tell the priest, and the priest would beat you up. You sinner, and how dare you do this, and you need to go say 10 Hail Marys and an Our Father, and you need to go and try better, and because, you know, you're sinning when you don't do your best, and going on and on and on. And my mom would be like, you don't have to do that, sweetheart. You're not a sinner, you know? So I was, again, blessed with being lifted up.
Yeah. And not a lot of folks have gotten that over the years in their lives in the pursuit of
truth,
their truth, their experiences. You know, I worked for 15 years for a Christian radio station. Best education I was ever paid for. I took a lot of other courses along with broadcasting, comparative religions, sociology, psychology, and so forth and so on. And I remember hearing all of these different messages from all of the diverse points of view, all of these different points of view. None of them agreed with one another. And there were even times when one program would attack another. And
See?
And we'd have to put the kibosh on that, saying, no. You want to be on this station, you do not attack other programs. Well, of course, fine. Well, they'll attack the beliefs and so forth. And that was another thing I learned very early on. Never argue belief. You'll always lose. You can't. You just can't.
You know what? And it's so funny because, you know, they had me, and I say they, my team, when I got my doctorate, I wrote my thesis on how to reprogram the subconscious. Back then, as they were guiding me to write this, I didn't even know at that point that you have two ways to awaken. You have that near-death experience or you reprogram the subconscious. But for my dissertation, I wrote it on religion. And in it, I said, all religions are in the same house, just a different room.
Oh, I like that. I like that, yes. I remember an interview that I conducted with a swami of an order that was related to Paramahansa Yogananda. Mm-hmm. My metaphysical primer at the age of 17 was Autobiography of a Yogi. So I'm interviewing this gentleman, and of course I'm seeing all of these pictures that he has in his sanctuary, if you will. And I said that, well, it sounds to me like you're just a different branch on the same tree.
Mm.
And he said, well, that's exactly true. And so there's no way to invalidate any. You can't invalidate the other branches without invalidating the whole tree.
Correct.
You cut off one branch, you might as well cut the whole tree down. Yeah.
And you have to embrace. It doesn't matter what religion you're in, you see, or if you're not in a religion and you are the church, hello.
Right. Yes.
But we won't go there because that's what he was trying to teach when Jesus came, not to worship me, but to worship or understand the message and the principle and that's in you, right?
Yes.
But
yes.
Well, we won't go there.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, and so all roads lead home. And if you think about that, and if you understand unity and that we're all one and that we're all in the image, because the image is love and energy, pure divine energy at its highest frequency. And we have to get past the doctrine, because all of these doctrines, again, man had a hand in the doctrine, not God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you can go to a temple, you can go to the mosque, you can go, because if you go at the core of all of them, let's hope that these people understand that it's about source is at the core. However you choose to walk that path is how you choose it. Guess what? If all roads lead home, does it matter if I take the straight direct route? Does it matter if I decide to do cartwheels on that road? Does it matter if I jump off and dive into the depths of the ocean, play around a little bit and come back on the path? Does it matter? Is the path not the path?
And I love the fact that if you're flying, you don't really have a path.
They're
exactly.
In the
air. So much the better. So much the better. Really free. I find this fascinating, and I have to share with you something that I've talked a lot about on this program, and we even had a series last year in 2014, I should say, 2 years ago now, where it was on mythology. We did a whole series for the entire year, one a month, have 12-part series, on mythology. We called it Mythosophia, Exploring the Depths of Myth and Wisdom. And we related this to both Christianity and the Muslim faith and to sports and to even video gaming and television and movies and on and on and on. And my co-host for that series, he surprised me one day by telling me, oh, yeah, we're going to talk with a guy about Star Trek and in particular about your favorite aspect of Star Trek, and that's the Borg. Now, the reason why that's my favorite aspect is because I don't know if you've ever watched the Next Generation series or because a lot
yes.
of folks don't. Okay, then you're familiar with that character.
The Borg, yes.
Well, my observation was that there is, and I don't know if Roddenberry was the one who came up with this character or not and what have you, but my observation was that there was a very strong symbol or example of our, yours, mine, the human race's interconnectedness to the higher power, higher consciousness, the self, forth, in that no two Borg did exactly the same task, but they were all working on the big picture, even if they couldn't see the big picture. Well, that's where we are in our world. We can't see the big picture. But we still go about our daily tasks, and some days we're on and some days we're off and so forth. And yet you and I, we will sit there and we will listen to that still small voice. And I encourage people to do that because that's where you get your guidance, your information. And yet even that concept has sort of been challenged because we have wondered, well, how can you be sure that the voice you're hearing isn't, you know, something else telling you to do something else?
Mm-hmm.
And I really, I'm still grappling with that concept myself in that respect.
Well, think about it, though. The voice, if it's the voice of the one, right, the mm-hmm. higher aspect of self, and it's diligence. It's about every day going in and surrendering to that higher aspect of yourself to be the divine director of all that you think, say, and do,
mm-hmm.
right? To do the work to clear and raise your vibration so that that's what you're in contact with. To do the work to protect yourself so that no negative influences are coming in. So you've got to do the work to get to that point, because then that still small voice is only that of love, is only that of support and uplifting and compassion for all. And if it is coming in any other type of message, then you know it's not coming in from the light, because the light only flows in one direction. It has to be that which is of love, which is of support, which is of compassion for your brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's anything other than that, it's not.
And the interesting thing about, again, the comparison is that there wasn't any questioning of the instructions. Well, however, we as human beings, we question the instructions.
Mm.
And I remember going through a personal growth program many years ago. And one of the, they gave us this large, maybe 2 foot long by 6-8 inch wide piece of white construction paper and a black Sharpie. And they said, we want you to write down a statement, okay? And it didn't matter what it was. It was a sort of a positive affirmation kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember it to this day. I still have that piece of paper. And the statement that I wrote down was that I will listen to, okay, and the big and follow the promptings.
Thank you.
Follow the promptings.
Yeah.
And that can be a hard thing to do sometimes because our egos get in the way, and I want to do that, but and we start putting conditions, and then we'll start negotiating,
yeah.
and all these mm-hmm. kinds of things, and then we
and the reality and the reality of that is this, right? That's your little self, the ego, still mm-hmm. wanting to run the show.
Yeah.
So as an awakening soul, you know that. That's what you have to work on, because when you get to the point where your higher self is taking over, or, you know, in my instance, when your monad is in and taking over, it is completely about the sweet surrender, and you do it willingly, because I know that, you see, the personality of these higher aspects is to be love, compassion, the detached observer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And uplifting support. So if you are in any other energy other than that, it is still your ego running the show. So your ego is very much wanting to negotiate. Your ego is very much wanting to say, but, why don't we do it this way? But, that person did that. And, you know, why can't they be wrong? And why does it have to be that it's just a reflection on me and all of these things? So that still is just, if we really want to pay attention and we truly want to awaken, then we're going to begin to hold ourselves accountable, so that when that little voice wants to take over, it's okay, ego. I love you. You have a place, and that is to take care of this physical body. But guess what? I'm going to heal my inner child. You matter to me. I want you to be happy. And now me, the adult, is going to take over, and I'm going to make better choices as far as our awakening, and I'm going to clear the way. And yes, I'm going to surrender, because the surrender doesn't mean that I'm letting go and giving up anything other than what hasn't been serving me. And when I surrender and I allow the bigger aspects of myself to now flow, I have more of the joy, more of the peace, more of the health, more of the prosperity, more of those things that I've been seeking. But it's been my ego thinking it could do it better. And guess what? It cannot.
Yeah, no, it cannot. And that's, of course, the struggle that we have. But I look at that example. That, as a matter of fact, many years ago when I was working back in Phoenix for this Christian station, one of my coworkers and I, we were big Trekkie fans, and he shared something with me that I thought was really very cool. He said that Star Trek, especially Next Generation, looked at that as our modern day mythology. So I started watching the show from that perspective, and all of the various lessons of all of the various examples and so forth. And
so, do you remember the episode Transfiguration, where he was on board the ship and the rulers of his planet were chasing him because he was about to transfigure and turn to light and become God self?
Such
right?
a profound, Ooh. Incredible episode. I'm sitting here going, I'd like to be that golden boy.
So let me tell you, that is so real. When my light body, oh my goodness, Richard. So in September of 2012, as all of these experiences and all of these beings surrounded me and plugging things into me, literally as I lay there in bed in the wee hours of the morning watching all the colors, up yonder was the still point of bright white light, and it descended. And as it grew closer, it was the form of a body, and it moved into me.
Wow.
That's your light body, and that's the glue, the multidimensional vehicle that then allows for your I Am presence to begin the descension into you, and that is ascension. When I was at Mount Shasta, oh gosh, was it last year, last October, I walked through all 12 levels of 5D with my eyes open, and when I was done, this golden ball rolled up my spine, out my head, and flung its way up into the cosmos.
Wow. Wow.
Yes. It's real, folks. It's real.
Now, you described this place, but this was not a near-death experience. It sounds to me more like an out-of-body experience.
So, you're talking about the car accident?
Yes.
So it was interesting. I mean, really interesting. So, okay, I'm rear-ended. The next thing I know, I'm standing in this beautiful golden white place. My life doesn't flash before me, and I'm hovering there. I don't see anything. I just hear that voice. And all I'm looking at is beautiful golden white energy. And they held me in that space because they didn't want me to have any cellular memory of trauma from an accident, you see, because, again, not being my experience, I came without karma so that I could just be awake, have these experiences of awakening, and share it with the masses. Mm-hmm. And so they just took me to a holding space, and there I was. So, the Bardo realm, it wasn't a near death because there was there's never fear in a near death, but my body wasn't even that injured. I tore two discs in my neck and, scar tissue and what have you, and certainly pain, but fascinating that that's how... That was my chaos into harmony moment where they said, hello, you're here for a reason. And we all have a chaos into harmony moment because if there's some agreement that you came forth to fulfill, especially if it's something to this sort of magnitude, then you're going to have that moment where they're like, okay, you're supposed to be awakening in this time, and we're going to help you awaken because that's the agreement. I'll never forget this lady I met. She had 6 near-death experiences. And on the 6th one, they said, look, you have this gift. You're this really special psychic. You have this gift. If you're not going to use your abilities, then we're just going to keep you, and you're not going back. And, they said it time after time after time. And finally, like, we give up. Look, either you're going to go back and you're going to do the work you said you're going to do, or you don't need to go back because that's what you're there for.
Yeah.
And she said, okay, fine. I'll go. I'll do it. And then she came back the 6th time, and she stepped into her power and her work. So that's the reality of it. So it's interesting that we're in it, but, there was no fear, even though I was rear-ended at over 100 miles an hour. The car spun. Then it broadsided the vehicle. And it was a police car, so it's reinforced steel that hit me. It was a serious impact. The car was cracked off its frame. However, here I am, not even knowing that it happened because I'm in this beautiful, peaceful place. And when, on the second impact, when the car stopped, my mom looked at my passenger, and I looked over at her. Her seat had fallen back, and I said, Mom, how did you get your seat so far back? And she's like, dear, we were just in a car accident. And because it was a high-speed chase and we were on the shoulder, there was already police there. The ambulance was there. And I, you know, pushed the button, rolled my window down, and I look at him, and he's like, "You need to go to the hospital." I'm like, "Why? You were just hit by the police. You don't see them all around you?" I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah,
they had took me out so that I wouldn't experience the trauma of the accident.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Isn't that amazing? But that's how much we're loved, folks.
Yeah.
That's how much we're loved.
Now, I had heard it actually said that at the time of our transitioning,
mm-hmm.
Especially if it's in the midst of what could be a very traumatic or such as what you experienced, an incident of severity, that the soul leaves an instant before impact, if you will.
Mm. That feels right.
And the reason I feel strongly about that being accurate is that many years ago with my first wife, who was totally blind, she would get around using a guide dog. And it was her first guide dog. The dog's name was Yora. She was a black Labrador retriever. And we were walking one Saturday morning through the neighborhood. And from around the corner came these two pit bulls. And one of them immediately latched onto the dog's underside of the neck. The other one latched onto its, her shoulder. She didn't make a sound. She just sat down.
Mm-hmm.
And during the next, I don't know if it was 10 or 20 minutes of trying to get these dogs off of her, she didn't make a sound. She didn't move.
Yeah, she wasn't there.
She wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And once we got her released and we got her to the vet, when she came home, it was as if nothing had happened.
Yeah, I get that. Because on the second impact, all of a sudden, my awareness, I was back in the vehicle and holding the steering wheel.
Wow.
And prior to that, I don't remember the impact. I don't remember, you know, this floating out of me. I just wasn't there. And then on the second impact, I was holding the steering wheel. And I thought, well, how am I doing this?
Yeah.
Why am I doing this, in fact?
Yeah.
So tightly, you know? Yeah.
Incredible. It really
fascinating.
Is.
Fascinating. Yeah.
The things that we go through, and then the things that we choose not to go through, I think that's probably the better way to put it, again, are just, again,
phenomenal.
Really. They really are. They really are, yes.
We are so much more than we give ourselves credit for. Wow. Think about that. And so really moving forward, we have to give ourselves credit. We have to really pat ourselves on the back. And that's not the ego, but that's that higher aspect that loves us so very much and wants to move back in. Oh, my gosh. You know, these past few days, I'm integrating these higher aspects of myself, quite honestly, my I am presence, when these higher aspects move in, you change completely. It's for the better, but it takes so much adjusting and getting used to because you're always in this constant expanded space and you are in this expanded space yet with your feet on the ground. And it's really interesting to feel you floating yet, but you're still in the physical form.
Mm.
And we are just these precious, precious beings. And it's so worth going through whatever it is you're going through. Love yourself. Have compassion for yourself. Know that it's possible for you to have this awakening, for you to be, you know, on the other side of it and to be enjoying, to be in bliss, to be in harmony, to be in balance. And it's amazing, to say the least.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are talking with a very special guest, Dr. Edvigan, and she's got a book I think you'll find fascinating. You're not crazy. You're awakening. We're going to talk more about the journey to discovering your soul purpose, joy, and abundant life here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned.
Tell me your story. Understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I'm here with Dr. Edvigen, and we're talking about her work and the things that she's doing in this world, in this realm, if you will, in terms of finding where you fit in this world and how you can, I don't know, maybe fit better, or if you're not feeling like you fit, maybe you can change shape and find the right place for you. And that's not something that is, I say facetiously, because I would venture, Doctor, that one's purpose as one progresses down the timeline of human existence can actually change, that there's actually a progression for some, whereas others, their purpose somehow stays that throughout their entire existence in this world.
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. As you grow, don't your likes and dislikes change because you're expanding your consciousness? And so in the beginning, you know, for me, I was a singer for as long as I could remember. That's what I wanted to do. Even as childhood with the visits, I always wanted to sing. And so I moved to Las Vegas to pursue that, and I was able to do that. And I thought, well, that's it. I retained what I came forth to do. I wanted to sing. I'm singing. I got to sing at Madison Square Garden. I got to sing at a Super Bowl, all up and
wow.
down the strip, all the casinos. Fun, right? Hey,
yeah.
What more is there? And then going into the light and them telling me what more there is. I'm like, oh, okay. So I had my fork in the road. And that served me because now here I am being able to sing. I'm getting ready to do some more music, but more in a spiritual tip, right? And able to express myself with ease, being in front of people with ease. So it was all practice leading up to the true soul purpose of bringing all this together and being able to do what I do in front of people and to be comfortable with it. And then to bring the ministry, if you will, of music into it, since that's where my heart is. And so it's just a platform. You move one step and then more expands to you because you can't see the whole picture where you are, your perspective. And so you have to grow, you have to expand, you have to let go. And then more of the pieces of the puzzle are you reveal to you. And so that's what it is. It's not so much that it is changing, but that more of the picture is being revealed.
Good point. Very good point, yes. And as I stated at the beginning of the program, I have found myself, you know, and it wasn't something that I was consciously doing, but I always found myself just, well, in the right place at the right time. I had one year, and it was actually the year 2000, where even in the midst of the turmoil of that year of being laid off, I kid you not, from four different jobs in the space of one year, I always felt like I was still in the right place, that I was still going down the right path. And you know those deja vu moments that we will have?
Yeah.
Where you'll say, I've been here before. Now, there are all kinds of different explanations, but I basically theorized for myself, those were just little markers along the way from the universe saying, yeah, you're on the right track. Here's a little signpost. Deja vu. You're going the right way. You're going there. And then, of course, we get into the other aspects of existence. And we've talked about this on other programs of multi-dimensions. So then, you know, okay, well, which one am I? Could I number them or code them in some way so I knew which one I was in at any given time, where I'm conscious in this one and I'm not conscious in that one kind of thing.
Tell me about it. Tell me.
And am I on purpose in all of them?
Yeah. But isn't it interesting? You see, and I always like to say I felt like I was standing on the yellow brick road and all I have to do is stand there and the next thing will show up and the next thing will show up.
Mm-hmm.
And how
mm-hmm.
it shows up, that's where the surrender comes in, because our 3D ego perception would say, but I was laid off. This can't be right. Yes, it can, because it's causing you to expand, to get one more little thing you need from that particular place, from that job that you're going to take to the next one, and then you'll take that and grow and take it to the next one. Ah, and now you're getting all the pieces that you need. You know, it's like this one experience I had. My teacher in the upper realms sent me to this garage, and I was standing in this garage, And there a wall of these cubicles, little cubicles, and in the center of the room were all of these brand new tools in their boxes. So I'm standing there and I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm supposed to take these tools out of the boxes and put them in the cubicles. So that's what I was doing in this altered state. And I'm opening the boxes, putting all these tools away. I had every single cubicle filled with a brand new tool. When I was all done, I was back in the safe place with my teacher, and he said, you have all the tools, now it's time to use them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what life is. We're gathering the tools, folks. You can't be a wonderful life coach if you didn't have life. You can't help someone, you know, get off of being an alcoholic if you didn't experience it first, or to quit smoking if you didn't smoke, or to do, you know, to lose weight. Hey, I know how to lose weight because I used to be overweight and now I lost the weight and this is how I did it, right? And so experience teaches wisdom, and people will see you, see where you are, see your elevated vibration frequency, feel that peace that's within. And then they'll say, wow, I would like to experience that myself. Can you please show me how? But of course I can. That's why I'm here. So do you see how it all leads to the next, to the next, to the next? Nothing is by accident and everything is by design. And when we can let go of our small perception of, but it showed up like this, but, and let it go, it shows up how it's supposed to show up. Embrace it.
Yeah. I remember having a conversation with a dear friend back many years ago. We were in a van, and we were singing, and then we got into conversation, and she was sharing with me her insights, and I kept responding to her, yeah, but we did it up, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but we did it up, and she said, stop it. You know, what do you mean yabbit? Do you know what a yabbit is? I said, and I was perplexed because I didn't understand the question. She says, it's an animal with two long ears and a fuzzy tail. Because she was trying to tell me that all I was doing was getting in my own way, that I was coming up with excuses for not going and doing this or that or the other.
Correct.
And unfortunately, that's still sort of a part of my pattern even today, in that I have a book I've been working on since 2001.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I've shared that before on the program as well, and I'm hoping that in the early part of this year, 2016, that I can bring this to fruition. I feel like I'm almost finished, but you know, I need to go back through and make sure everything is where it should be, and if I need to add some other things. But at the same time, you know, there was a time, and I know that people get into this kind of mode with a lot of things that they do, whether it's writing a book or writing songs or whatever it might be. They'll say to themselves, "Well, yeah, but so and so already did that." Well, maybe so, but they did it their way, and you
Correct.
Need to do it your way.
Your way. You know, it was so interesting. I had never, no desire, not even an inkling, okay, to ever want to write a book, let me tell you. But early on in all of these experiences, actually before the experiences even really started full-fledged, I knew there was something more. So I started going to workshops, and I found myself in a workshop in Sedona, and this stranger walked up to me, and she said, "Are you writing yet?" And I looked at her like, huh? No, I don't write. And I just let it alone. And then months later, I'm at a friend's event in Vegas. And as I'm sitting there just observing, this stranger walks up to me and says, "They want you to know how much you were loved. Are you writing?" And I said, "Well, tell them, thank you, love you too. And no, I don't write." And I let it go. And then literally months later, I'm on the phone with someone that I was introduced to. And as I'm speaking to him, he, of course, channels Archangel Michael. Now Michael comes in and says, "It's within your blueprint. You're supposed to write." And I'm like, "What am I supposed to write?" And they said, "You will know." And then the experience has started. I'm like, "Oh, okay, fine." So I just started journaling these experiences. And before you knew it, I'm like, okay, I think I'm ready now. My light body's in, and it's journaling from childhood to my light body. What's next? And being on that yellow brick road back then, I was introduced to this person. I went and had lunch with him. Turns out his wife was an editor and had a 6-month program that she would mentor you through writing your book. whoa, how convenient was that universe? So I signed up for her program, and every week she coached. And in 6 months, my book was done. She edited it, and I'm like, here you have it. And so, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Trust the process.
Yeah. And it's funny how we will
and
go
get out of your way.
Get out of your. I've heard the phrase, "Stop trying to control the process. Be a part of the process." And those are two different things, big things. And I've even heard that advice as well in terms of trusting. And it's interesting how we go through our lives sometimes, and we will have those moments of clarity, of trust. My wife and I, my present wife and I, had that experience back in 2005, 2006, when I lost my job because the station I was working for was sold. And then she quit her job the next day. And I still remember that conversation because in my head, when she told me she had just quit her job, I in my head, I'm going screaming, "Do you know I'm unemployed too?" You know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when we sat down that night to talk about it, I had no fear. She came to me and she was really very concerned, you know, and I feel like we're on the edge of a precipice, she says. And what are we going to do? And I said, well, everything that I have ever learned from all of the sources that I have availed myself of over the years, books, authors, interviews, workshops, and seminars, they all said the same thing. When you come to the edge of a cliff, you do two things. You jump and you trust. And that's what we did. But it's carrying that same attitude into all of the future elements of your life, because other things seem to come along to undermine that perspective, that point of view, that attitude that you had, especially when you're talking about losing your job, okay, and then your partner loses their job or whoever else is supporting the endeavors that you're, you know, in, and no fear at all. And the only other time I had that kind of non-fear, we were in Ireland. We were out on a day trip to one of the islands off the west coast of Galway, and there was this giant granite fortress that had been built, prehistoric fortress. And there's this giant slab of granite that's hanging out over the edge of the cliff about, I don't know, 2-3 feet. And I wanted to get some pictures of the ocean hitting the shore below. So I went out and I sat out on the edge, on the end of that piece of granite. And my wife is standing back away asking me, so where is the life insurance policy you have? And I told her that afterwards I had no fear until 8 hours later, we're safe and warm in our stone cottage, snuggled warm in the bed, and the fear hit. It was unbelievable. But at the moment of that experience, there was none.
Every reason to live in the now moment, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Scaring everyone half to death, everyone else half to death. but I had no problem with it. Well, and it's kind of like people who skydive or free climb, you know, rocks and mountains and this and that and the other, or do all of these other kinds of extreme sports and what have you, or maybe it's part of their bucket list, you know, or to do some daring do, as it were.
Exactly. Yeah.
And sometimes, for example, writing a book could conceivably be just that, could be your version of daring do.
Well, and think about it, you know, again, a lot of those inner childhood programs say, well, what do you have of value to write about? Who do you think you are? And so when we can talk to that inner child and say, but you are a divine being and what you have to say matters. And truly begin to talk to that inner child. You see, because when that inner child is running the show, the inner child is going to find all sorts of ways to prevent. It's like, no, 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 you're not ready yet. No, 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 not yet. No, 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 it's not right. No, 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 it's not perfect. No, 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 it has to be perfect. It's because that inner child, you know, is wounded and doesn't feel worthy of that success, doesn't feel smart enough to be able to come up with something that anyone would want to read. So why would you bother? Because you're only going to fail. So talk to the inner child. Let the inner child be the inner child. You go and you play. Yes, you are worthy. I love you. You are so important and so special. Ah, but I can take over from here because I am confident now. And I've got this, so don't worry. And now that higher aspect can begin to move in and take over. And in that space, there's going to be more ease, right?
Mm-hmm.
More confidence that, you know what? There will be someone who wants to hear what I have to say. I'm ready to finish.
Mm.
And those obstacles will begin to melt away because it's the subconscious that's creating the obstacles.
I wonder sometimes, too, if there also isn't the fear. I've heard this quite often, too. There's the fear of success.
Of course, but that comes back to the inner child again. Who do you think you are? Do you think you're good enough to stand out there and be successful? Why do you think that about yourself? Because when you were little, someone said something to you and your subconscious took it on and now believes you're not worthy. And, you know, you're just going to be arrogant and ego when you make it. So you're not going to do any of this. So there's so many different aspects in the subconscious saying you're not good enough or your ego is going to get in the way and he's going to be, you know, all this kind of stuff that you just have to go and layer by layer, let go as it pops in. Let me sit with this in that meditative state and let me examine, is this resonating with me? And if it does, where did I pick up this idea about myself? Ah, now let me clear this from my subconscious. Let me step back into who I truly am, this divine, powerful being, whose story is worthy of sharing, by the way. You see, so it's about all of this is just hiccups. It's just stuff that's blocking us from being in the flow. That's it.
Yeah. You have one website in particular that I would encourage people to go to. I think this is interesting, but I also want to talk about this aspect of our daily lives. AffirmationsForLiving.net. That's AffirmationsForLiving.net, basically where you have combined all of the knowledge that you've acquired to provide us with practical body, mind, and spirit principles that will enrich our lives, our daily lives, and show us how to fulfill, to fully step into self-mastery. And there is no manual. We didn't come into this world with a manual. At least I didn't get one. I don't know if you did.
That would be nice. Yeah, that sure would be nice.
But I didn't get one. But let's talk a little bit about this because some people feel that affirmations are more like, you know, they're platitudes. What do they really mean?
Absolutely get
and
that.
And yet, go ahead.
So first, also my new site, the main site is Dr. Edvige. So if you would also share that site, DREDWIGE.com,
yes.
Dr. Edvige. So affirmations are a wonderful thing. And actually, I have a smartphone app where I send out affirmations every day. So understand this. You have two ways of awakening. You have a near-death experience. Got it. You go into the light. You come back. Whew, I'm awake. Or you have to reprogram your subconscious. Well, how do you do that, right? This is one of the tools. I have to take in a new idea to replace the old idea. So that's where an affirmation comes in because you may think that you've seen it before, you heard it before, but it's through repetition that we begin to reprogram the subconscious. And so that's where these affirmations come in because that's a tool, one tool, to help you reprogram your subconscious. And that is how you awaken. You have to let go of all the old stuff in your subconscious, all the old beliefs of lack, of fear, of guilt, of shame, of pain, of doubt, of suffering, of less than, unworthy, you name it, all of those things that are in your subconscious that are controlling you, that inner child that thinks the inner child has it and is running the show, telling you you're not worthy of, you're not deserving of. How do you get past all of that? You got to reprogram your subconscious. And one of the tools is affirmations.
Mm.
I have to tell myself a new story. And the more I can tell myself a new story, the more I can empty that glass. And once that glass is empty, I can begin to paint the picture of the new. And that's a part of the process.
Tell me about how this relates to meditation.
Whoa, that's another tool, right? And so, and I have meditations on my site, especially the new site, Dr. Edvige. So, you know, obviously prayer, and I shouldn't say obviously because not everyone knows that, and that's fine. So prayer is the asking. I see myself divine, and I ask in an affirmative way, by the way, so there's another word for or use for affirmation. So that's asking is the prayer. But the meditation is the receiving of the information, and so you get quiet. You go within. And by the way, early on as an adult, one of the first visits as this new awakening being was this being showing up saying, we are ready to teach you meditate. Because that's when you get still. That's when you get quiet. And now you allow for divine guidance to come forth. You know, it was so interesting early on in meditation. All of a sudden, I was looking at the all-knowing, all-seeing eye, looking back at me. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I would get out of meditation and I'd run out of the room excited. And my husband would look at me like, what were you just doing? I'm like, would you believe I was meditating and I saw this eye looking at me? It was the coolest, right? And so that's when you begin to reconnect to those higher aspects where your soul, your higher self, your I am presence, where the divine, all of these higher aspects, your guides, everyone can begin to communicate and give you information. So it's a wonderful space to go into because you quiet the mind. And literally, meditation can heal. Meditation can release. You go into the breath, and it's just a beautiful, calming place for you to be and to reconnect with all of those divine aspects of self. That's the place to do it.
I have to say that it's one of the things that we've shared on this program that, and I've grappled with the concept of meditation for years as far as those people who intellectualize it, if you will, trying to find out, well, what is the real purpose for meditation? Well, you said it, and that is to sit quietly, to if you can, still the mind, to listen for and to that still small voice, to get the instructions that you need for your moment-to-moment and day-to-day life. That, for me, from my perspective, and one of the things that is really beautiful, especially when I look at, for example, the metaphysical primer that I referred to earlier, the references to a particular saint that he referenced in the book. And I want to say it was, I think it was Saint, not Saint Teresa as far as Mother Teresa, but another who basically said that God is amongst the pots and the pans. So it doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing, you can meditate and listen and to that voice. You don't have to sit in the lotus posture in a quiet room or a closet somewhere. You know. Now, if you want to, that's fine. I'm not criticizing that at all.
Exactly. So here's the thing. People will ask me, so when do you pray and when do you meditate? And I say, there isn't a moment in time where I'm not in the state of prayer. So do you see exactly what you're saying, Richard? You become it. You become the prayer. You become the meditation. Be still and know that I am God. And so, yes, as I'm doing the dishes, and hear this, get off autopilot. That's such a big thing. When you're doing the dishes, do them. You know, get soaps that smell wonderful with a lavender scent. And, smell the lavender as you do the dishes. And now in that space, find God.
Mm-hmm.
That's prayer. That's meditation. Where I live, believe it or not, in Henderson, outside Las Vegas, there are rabbits all over, right?
Oh.
So I will see a bunny rabbit. I'll see a rabbit across the street. And I get so excited. I get up. I go run to the kitchen. Literally, I buy bags of organic baby carrots. And I'll grab a handful, and I'll throw them in the backyard. And then I'll stop, and I'll wait for the rabbit to come around. And he'll sniff, 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 and he'll find the carrots. And I'm delighted, or the different birds, and we have all sorts of birds feed in the backyard, and we're feeding the doves and the sparrows and the birds that come in as they're moving down south, and even the pigeons show up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about finding God and all of that, and then all of a sudden I'll be at my window, and the hummingbird will stop right in front of my window at my office and look in, and I see you. I see you. Thank you for seeing me. And so there isn't a moment and you have to stop living on autopilot and find God, find peace, find prayer, find meditation in every moment. Pay attention, honor yourself, feel yourself in every moment in everything you do. Stop doing things on default. Set intentions. When I get in my vehicle, do you set an intention? I intend to move through traffic with grace and ease. That's a prayer, right? An affirmative prayer, because I'm setting the intention. I intend to go to the grocery store, and guess what? I'm going to get everything I need with ease. I'll never forget this one time I went to the vitamin shop, and I had a long list of supplements that I wanted, and I had exactly $105 in cash on me. I sat in my car, and I said, okay, team, work it out. I'm going in. I'm getting everything on my list. I went in. I picked up everything, put it in my basket without looking at the price tag. And when I got up to check out, it was the manager there today, Daniel. And Daniel said, can I give you 20% off? Well, sure you can. Thanks for offering, okay? What propelled him to do that? And my bill came to $104.60. Uh-huh. I went back into my car and I sat there and I cried. I said, thank you. Thank you for loving me this much. Thank you. So do you see, it's in all that you do. Don't just wait for this special, you know, occasion. Okay, guys, show up. Okay, I'm praying. No, let it be your daily attitude of prayer, of thanksgiving, of grace, of gratitude, and it will begin to unfold. And before you know it, it's not the art of becoming, it's the art of being. And I think that's what I teach in my work, how to be that space of love, of peace, of joy.
There's a great story I heard relating to that story that you just told of two gentlemen who went out to breakfast together, and the bill comes, and the one gentleman, he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out exact change, dollars and cents plus tip, and leaves it there and didn't think anything of it. And then they go to lunch a couple of days later, and the same thing occurs where the bill comes, and he looks at it and he reaches into his pocket and out comes the exact change plus the tip. They go to dinner a few days later, and the bill comes, and the same thing occurs. And the other gentleman who is with him, he's really perplexed by this event that he's observing. So he says, I don't understand. How is it possible for you to always have exactly the right amount of money in your pocket for these meals that we've been enjoying every single time? I mean, how do you know how much we're going to spend? And he says, well, I found a genie in a bottle the other day, and it was going to give me one wish. Now, I could have wished for $1 million and so on and so forth, and he gave me time to think about it, and I did. And I came back and I said, I would like to always have exactly what I need at any given moment as far as money to take care of things, the resources to do that. And I thought, wow, I mean, if that isn't, if you will, from my perspective, the ultimate description of, say, a millionaire, where you don't even have to think about what you need. It's just there.
There. All the time.
That's abundance. That's prosperity.
That's abundance, folks. It is. And that's the thing that we have to move into, right? It's a choice. And as we do the work, that's where you are. And whenever I have a project, and, you know, the project may cost thousands of dollars to pay for and what have you, lo and behold, it's there. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, this is funny. So I remember years and years ago, I had an alkaline water wellness store. And my husband and I ran it. We had it for 3 years. And we were sitting in the back of the store. And I said, oh, there's this workshop. That's that first workshop in Sedona that I wanted to go to, right? And I said, okay, universe, I want to go to this workshop. Work it out. I want you to send in the next person who's going to, if you want me to go to this workshop, you're going to send in someone who's going to provide the money, and I'm going to go to the workshop. Now, 30 seconds later, maybe 60 seconds later, after we said this, right,
mm-hmm.
the door opened, a lady walks in. She was about to get, you know, alkaline water from us. We had a used machine sitting on the counter. And she says, you know what, I'm tired of coming in and just getting water. How much is that machine? And we said the amount, $2,500. She said, you know, there must be a reason why I put my checkbook in my handbag today, because I never carry it. And she wrote a check for the amount, and guess what the amount was for that workshop?
$2,500.
To the penny.
Yeah. I think, too, that a lot of people, especially in this day and age, they view that as living from paycheck to paycheck, that we're all so strapped, that we're all in such dire straits that, you know, this is all there is. And from one perspective, all right, I won't disagree with you. Yeah, that's one perspective that, yeah, you're living from paycheck to paycheck, but you're living, aren't you? I even take a look at that from time to time in my own life. I have to look back at those experiences and remind myself, hey, first of all, here you are in that same scenario, and you're looking to change your attitude. Now, you take a look back at your past. You've been here before, and guess what? You're here now. I'm not talking about repeating it. I'm saying you're here now. Mm-hmm. You're alive. You made it through that stuff that you didn't think you were going to make it through, but here you are. So what makes you think that the universe isn't going to be there for you now?
Again and again and again.
And again and again.
And the thing is, the more you get into that, understanding that there's always going to be for you, always more than enough, now you're understanding how the universe works, and now you're getting in the flow of that energy. And before you know it, more and more shows up, right?
Mm-hmm.
When a check shows up, of course, we're self-employed, right? I'm self-employed. When a check shows up from doing a telesummit or what have you, I'm like, whoa, this is cool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, God, more please. And then a bigger check shows and a bigger check.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you're in abundant prosperity. And so it's bless every step. Don't discount any step saying, well, but I'm still in scarcity, but that's still. No, no, no. It is a part of the movement. And that's what it is. And bless it. And yes, it'll show up time and time and time again. And the more you bless it, the more you're grateful for it. Then now the universe says, wonderful, you're a good steward of that. You're showing your gratitude for that. Okay, if it is your desire to have more, then we will send you more. It's okay. It's okay to, you know, in your idea, your perception of what abundance is, for one, it's going to be, hey, when I need it, it shows up.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. That's a pure blessing. And then someone else may say, okay, abundance to me is having, you know, $50,000 in the savings account as a cushion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. If that's your belief, your truth, and you're in alignment with those universal laws, then that's what you will have, and that's your level of your prosperity. And then another person may say, well, okay, it's got to be $250,000 or $1 million, whatever. It's wherever you are. Again, all roads lead home, right? Give everyone permission to have their own experience. And, you know, a prime example is this, me singing, you know. Some would say, well, you had these wonderful experiences, these wonderful gigs, and that was all good and well, and you sang, and but you just really sang in lounges in Las Vegas, and you were just a lounge singer, right?
Mm-hmm.
You never got a record deal, so were you really successful? And I would say, look at the picture. I got to sing at magnificent places. I actually, before I got married and was single, bought my first home singing, bought my first car, which I happened to like Mercedes at the time. Now I have an electric BMW, right? Got to pay for it cash singing.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my level for me of my success. And for me, that was my dream. I fulfilled it. And so we all have our own level of where we are in our comfort zone, and not to judge anyone where they are, because it's all perfect.
But what happens, and I think it's wonderful that you and your husband sound as though you're on the same page in this regard. But there are those who are out there who aren't. they're not quite on the same page. They're certainly pursuing and they're wanting to live their life's purpose and deal with a lot of the spiritual concepts that we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not both in that same space. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah.
What do you say to someone who what do you say to someone who is in that kind of a situation?
So the reality of it is, okay, this. You can only work on yourself. We know that. And as I do the work to raise my vibration and to raise my frequency, it will impact those that I'm around. It must. And so as I raise my frequency, my husband's frequency would also raise. And I would early on send this beautiful pink light, right? The third ray of God is cosmic love, and it's represented in this beautiful pink energy. And I would send an infinity symbol from my heart to his heart and do it 3 times. And look, if it's supposed to be, it will. If it's for our best and highest good, we will stay together. And if it's not, then we will go to that fork and go our separate ways. And it has to be okay. So again, that's where that surrender comes in. And we have to be okay with when that fork in the road shows up, if it shows up. But if you're sending that divine love and you're doing the work and it's for that person to awaken and get it in this lifetime, they will. And if it's not, they won't. You can't force it. You can't make it happen because it's not your job to do so. Their awakening is their awakening. Your awakening is your awakening.
Hmm.
Not an easy thing. I didn't say it was, and I know lots of people who, you know, are in this process of awakening and find themselves divorcing because of that.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. And I've often used this phrase with folks too, and it's not just in terms of close relationships like marriages and boyfriend, girlfriend,
oh,
and
no,
so forth.
It's family, it's friends, it's
yeah.
all of it.
But the phrase that I use, that I try to tell people is that you do realize that you have the freedom, and I use this word very broadly, mind you. But in the context of your description, doctor,
mm-hmm.
you have the right to discriminate.
Correct.
You have the right to have in your life those people who serve you, support you, encourage you, and you have the right not to have those people in your life who don't.
Amen. Exactly. And that's where we get to those, as I call it, right, the fork in the road.
Yeah.
And so, you know, keep your circles. Your circle becomes very close. Let me tell you, look where I am, right? My story, all of my experiences. Do you think I have the support of every friend I've ever had?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. And that's okay. I bless them. I love them. And we have gone our separate ways. Mm. And that's fine. Even my sister, and I love my family. There's 5 of us kids, right? I'm the smack dab in the middle child. I have 2 older brothers and 2 younger sisters. Well, the youngest sister, lovely woman, love her dearly, and when all of this first began, you know what she said? Well, you asked for that. I won't say the last word, but you asked for that. And I'm like, well, really? Okay. You know, and so couldn't fully comprehend what any of it's about, but that's okay too, because she respects me enough to, this is my life, this is how I choose to express it and where I am.
Yeah.
And if you awaken in this lifetime and you get it, fine. And if not, fine. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see? Yeah. And that's not easy. We have to be willing to let them go. Whoa, dare I say it.
Yeah. And for some of us, that can be very hard to do. But how important is your life to you? One of the first rules of the survivalist, though, someone who might be out hiking or what have you, and so forth. And the rule number one is take care of number one.
Yeah.
Because
save yourself.
Yeah, you can't help anyone else if you don't take care of you.
Yeah. You know, that's like the crabs in the barrel, right? The first one's trying to get up. He's almost out. And then all the crabs come and pull him back in.
Pull him back in. Exactly.
Guys,
exactly.
Get out of the barrel. Get out of the barrel. Awaken. See your light body. Get yourself together, right? Whew. And now, when you are this ascended being, don't you think you can influence more people? by your presence, by your energy, by your frequency.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So do the work to take care of yourself first. And in so doing, you then give everyone permission to do the same.
Before we wrap up the program, a reminder, we're talking about the work that is contained within the covers, but not exclusively, of the book, You're Not Crazy, Your Awakening Journey to Discover Your Soul's Purpose, Joy, and Abundant Life. My guest is Reverend Dr. Edvige. And I have to ask this question because it is so intriguing to me. May I ask where the name Edvige comes from?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so my father, and he transitioned when I was 18, my father was from Martinique, the French West Indies, and my mom, who will be 86 on the 31st of this month, she's from Jamaica. And so I have islanders for parents, and I'm named after my father's mother, my grandmother. And so the island of Martinique is still under French rule, if you want to say. It's a French island. And so, it's just a French name. And my last name, B-I-N-G-U-E, is actually pronounced Bang. Very French. Edvige. See, if you now think French and roll the tongue, Edvige. And that's it.
Edvige Bang.
Yeah. And it's French.
And Dr. Reverend, as well as Doctor, although the doctor, I assume that is that's the PhD aspect.
Absolutely.
And what, and you may have mentioned this before, the subject? The focus of that PhD?
Reprogramming one's subconscious, awakening.
Which is where a lot of what we're talking about comes from.
Absolutely.
And
that's why they had me, you know, someone said to me, so why did they have you go to school and get a doctorate? Well, because understanding, yes, I had all the visitations and all the teaching and the training and so forth. But to bring it into 3D terms, right, to bring it into this reality was to then understand the concepts and the principles that govern this reality. And I got that through going through school. Hmm. And also it then authenticates, right? I'm a doctor, a metaphysical practitioner. Ah, so you truly understand how the science of the mind, how all of this works. Yes.
Hmm. So a good resource for you, the listener, to go to check out and assist yourself in moving forward in your life. Dr. Edvige, I would like to, first of all, extend an invitation that if you find yourself in the Santa Barbara area, we'd love to have you in studio to continue this conversation. And also encourage our listeners to go to your website, which is D-R-E-D-W-I-G-E. That's DrEdvige.com. And you can find out more. There's also the other website in, as far as the affirmations, and it is affirmation, or it's plural now, affirmationsforliving.net, affirmationsforliving.net. Before I let you go, I have three final questions for you.
Okay.
And again, thank you so much for sharing so much time with us today. Who is Edvige Bang?
I am that I am this divine, beautiful soul who said yes to stepping into my divinity. And I'm just here to be an example of the possibilities that await us all.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
It's until all are wholly ascended and free, not just a handful. So it's to spread the word so that more people can awaken and more people can step into their power and more people can end this 3D reality.
And what is your life's purpose?
So to be this bridge between heaven and earth, and that is a bridge between 3D and the higher dimensions. To let you know it is real and to help you through my experiences, through my wisdom, through already going through the process of what it looks and feels like so that it's like the 100th monkey. As I've experienced and learned, now it's easier for the next group to come aboard and then the next group and then the next. And so it's paving the way so that we all can move across that bridge.
Hmm. Yeah. I've heard the analogy of a ladder. We're all walking up these very long, tall ladders, and there's someone above us and someone below us. And the person above us reaches down to assist us up. We reach down to assist the person below us.
Correct.
Yeah. Dr. Avij Bang, thank you so much for sharing so much time with us here on the program. And I encourage our listeners that if you would like to hear the entire interview that's nearly an hour and a half long, go to richarddugan.com, the radio shows page, and you can hear the entire interview because the radio program version is about half as long. And we are grateful for that as well as the full version. And again, thank you again, Doctor, for joining us. And we encourage you to stay in touch. We'd love to continue this conversation.
Absolutely. I would love to come back on. And yes, I must make a plan to make it to Santa Barbara. It's not that far. So thank you for the invite.
You are welcome.
Show up.
Wonderful. Looking forward to it. Please stay in contact. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Once again, the book is entitled You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening, Journey to Discovering Your Soul Purpose, Joy, and Abundant Life. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.